Welcome to Are You Real Linked? A journey together toward a deeper, more authentic connection with God and with others. Through teachings of prayer and faith, our common stories of business, relationships, and personal growth will give you the direction you need to truly feel linked with the lost, hopeless, and hurting to help restore your community. Now please welcome your host, Christy Austin.
Good day to you, and welcome to Are You Real Linked with your host, Christy Austin, where we are connecting to deeper faith. We are so delighted to have you today, and today I have with me Anthony Turner from Destiny Ministries International, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Anthony, we want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us today.
It is my pleasure to be here with you, Christy, and with your podcast audience. I'm so thrilled.
Thank you. And before we get started today, I do want to share with you that you can catch all the Are You Real hosts at areyoureal.org. Get to know the different hosts, Casey Fuller with Are You Real Fit. And we would love to connect with you. So join us on social media and join us on the website. Now, as you know, we have really been taking a look at Luke 10 and talking about what it means in 2018 to go into a city and to take back a city. Now, we know, of course, and as we've been talking about that word go, that is an action verb. And so we are learning what it looks like to go as apostles into our cities. Now, as you remember, the definition for a city taker is to take back your city through the art of giving. And I am excited for you to hear exactly how Anthony Turner is doing that, not just in Colorado Springs, but from what I understand, you actually travel around, not even just the nation, but internationally, and you travel to different cities. And can you tell us about what Destiny Ministries International is, and what does that look like?
Well, it was founded in 2013. I pastored a church in Colorado Springs for 5 years prior to that. And my heart has always been to add the Ephesians 4 model, that the fivefold are for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so for me, it got to the point where, as much as I love pastoring a local church, my travels, we had a host of missionaries that were a part of our church also, and we would take short-term trips, usually about 2 a year, to visit and to support our short-term missionaries around the world. Inevitably, we would go, and I would see that these people who are now in India or in Jordan doing what they feel like Father has called them to do were almost on the brink of burnout because they had to pour out so much energy 24/7, you know, when you're in another nation. Mm-hmm. And even if they were a part of another church, you know, there in their region, they were still constantly on the go. And my heart just went out to see that they were doing what they really felt the Lord had been calling them to do, but there was inadequate support for them as leaders to undergird them, to help them. And this became more of a passion in my heart, which ultimately led in 2012 for me to step down from becoming a local church pastor or being a local church pastor into really going and helping to see how I could undergird these leaders around the world who were doing such mighty exploits for God. So Destiny is about, Destiny Ministries International is about literally helping, partnering with, coming alongside what I like to call the world changers today, those who are committed to seeing their cities, their nations, their regions, their countries change for the glory of God.
Wow.
And so I feel like in this season of my life, it's being a part of the infrastructure to help them do what they've been created to do.
Wow, I love that. And, you know, you said a word that really jumped out to me, and it's burnout. Mm-hmm. And, of course, being in ministry so many years ourselves, and I know you've been in ministry so many years. And what do you think are some keys? What have you found as some keys to protect against burnout?
Well, you know, I think that it's very easy for us to think that what we are called to do is ultimately and exclusively our responsibility to keep it going. And it kind of reminds me of what happened to Elijah when he was out in his time with the Lord. And he says, I'm the only one. I'm the only one left. And the father had to remind him, no, I've got 7,000 that have never bowed their knee to Baal. So I think that one of the things that can help us to not fall prey to burnout is to realize that there are people who are willing to come alongside us. And that's what happened with me, just knowing and understanding. You have to find and identify those people who really feel like that they've been called to be a part of what you're doing. And so part of what I like to do is help bring those people together, almost like a supply and demand. There are people who can see your vision and see your heart and know that it is totally of the Lord, and they'll come alongside you. So I personally, I think just the body being the body will help prevent against burnout.
That's amazing. And we always say, you know, that it's not going to be one ministry or one person or one church that's going to bring revival or even reformation to our nation. It's going to be the body really linking together, which of course is, you know, the basis of this whole show is getting linked with the Holy Spirit and getting linked with each other.
Absolutely.
And so that's such a beautiful thing. One of the things I've loved about watching you, Anthony and I got to do a conference this week together here in Aiken. And so we've got to spend a significant amount of time together, and it's been amazing. But the thing that I've really noticed and admired is watching you as you come to each person and just the love of the Father that really radically is released from you. And it's such a beautiful gift because it's so rarely seen in our world. One, it really just knocks out that religious spirit, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But secondly, what I've noticed is one of the hearts and the passions that God's placed inside you is really to call forth people's destiny.
Yes.
And I've watched that in such a beautiful way because, again, out of Luke 10, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray for the laborers. And you demonstrate that so beautifully. Can you speak? Of course, that's the name of your ministry. Can you speak a little bit about identity and destiny and what that looks like for you?
Of course. When we talk about taking our cities, we've already addressed the reality that it's not going to be on one person to do that. It's going to take a team of people. It's going to take us coming together in unity. And I think the great challenge is knowing how to partner with others and appreciate and value their peace. You know, all of us are unique. I had a friend of mine, he and I were speaking at lunch once, and our churches were very diverse in how they, it was when I was pastoring, and our churches were very diverse in how we went about doing what we both were called to do. And while we were sitting there, he kept using the word differences, which, you know, he says, you know, we have some differences in this and differences in that. And it was almost as if I heard the Father speak to me and say, many of the things that we consider to be differences are really distinctions. And we are purposely distinct because what the Lord would like to see us do in unity, unity and oneness does not mean sameness. And I think that that's where we fall prey to lose our identity, is because we'll see someone who is successful in what they do, and we feel like we need to change who we are so that we can also experience success. However, our success is not measured on us, the numbers of people that, you know, this church has and this church has. Success is when the very thing that I've been called to release in the earth, I'm able to do that and to impact a life and cause someone to step into a reality of who they were created to be. So for me, it became very evident and real. You know, I'm having the opportunity to be surrounded by some of the most remarkable people in the world. I mean, you know, even, you know, I get the opportunity to, in some occasions, lead worship or go and teach. And there are these people that are in my sphere who musically can run circles around me, who, as far as their knowledge of teaching and how they present what they do, I stand in awe when I hear them doing what they do. And what had to happen with me is to appreciate what they have to offer and know that what I have to offer is very distinct and very unique and very needed. No matter if it's seemingly completely different than what that other person is offering, what I have, Father put me on the planet because there's a solution that He's put in me to solve. And so my goal with Destiny Ministries International is to highlight that so that every person will know how much they are needed, they're valued, they're appreciated, and how much even the largest or the smallest diversity in what you do is so important to the body of Christ that you bring your part to the table.
Yes.
That you bring your part to the mix. Yes. You know, when you're baking a cake, you add less salt than you do sugar. But without that salt, there's something that's just missing from the cake. Or, you know, so not all of the ingredients are poured in equally, but they're poured in. Everyone is necessary.
Yes. And I'm laughing. Thinking about equating that to the body, because I think we can all think of people in our mind that are like salt, you know?
Yes, yes.
And it may be a necessary gift, you know, but there's only a little bit of that that's needed.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's amazing. One of the things I noticed as a therapist is oftentimes when people aren't operating in their identity and destiny, they present with anxiety and depression.
Yes.
And so often it's as simple as teaching them that identity and helping them to walk in their destiny. And to me, the beautiful thing, because we know in the church, you know, one of the things that I think turns the world off so much is that we can be so jealous of each other.
Yes.
And there's such competition, you know, and we forget we're all on the same team.
Right.
But see, I love what you said, because when I view you out of Jeremiah 1, you know, God has placed something unique in you and placed something unique in me.
Yes.
I don't have to be intimidated by your destiny because I have a destiny of my own.
Absolutely.
And so that's such a beautiful imagery to help really bring unity to the body and to get linked with each other.
Amen.
So that's amazing. I'm curious, what does it look like to you? How are you taking your city? Is there anything in Colorado Springs over the years, practically, strategically, that you have done to really take the city?
Yes. Well, one of the things that I've been in Colorado Springs since 1996, and of course, anytime you move into a city or you're born into a city, you are keenly aware of its strengths as well as its weaknesses. And I tried myself personally to really observe, you know, when my wife and I, Alicia, moved to Colorado, I just wanted to observe to see how could I contribute to the city. And it was, it's a city that's well known for some very high profile ministries. We have Focus on the Family there, Compassion International. And anytime you've got ministries like that, and you've got larger than life ministry leaders. And just my observation was, there is a challenge to not live vicariously through your leaders, especially mm-hmm. if they are on a national or international platform. It's very easy to just say, well, you know, I'm a part of Focus on the Family, especially before Dr. Dobson retired, and say, you know, James Dobson is, you know, I'm a part of that ministry. And in some ways, lose your own voice. So it's been critically important to me to, in order to take a city, I believe it's very necessary for the voices of that city to be heard. The voices, the ones that carry the sound of revival, the voices that carry the sound of transformation. And those voices, not all the time, are familiar or well-known voices. And so my goal has been to call forth those people whose voices, their contributions are significant and need to be heard. And so I've been very blessed and fortunate in my city to garner influence that has given me platforms to speak. And I've always felt that way, that, you know, your platform, if you are blessed or graced to see yourself in a place where you are a person of influence, your platform cannot singularly be of you.
Yeah.
That you can use that to help others step into what they've been called to. And in doing that, what you end up doing is you start to bring some unity to the city. So I felt like my contribution to be a city taker is to identify those who have such a significant message and their voices need to be heard. And much like what you're doing with the podcast is letting another voice be heard that could possibly ignite someone else or motivate or inspire someone else to step into what they've been called to.
Yes, I love that, because the concept of the platform, you know, and some people are giving much more notoriety and influence than others.
Yes.
And the basic call of the Christian life that I always come back to is the call to die to self.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We're called to die daily. And so you watch people, and of course, stewarding any area of your life, whether it's finances or influence, but you just kind of step back and watch people. And even in this area of platform, no matter if it's small, medium, large, or extra large, our call is to fade in the background and to serve,
yes.
you know, serve others by elevating them. And so that's yes. such a beautiful thing. I love to get to watch you do that as we've ministered together,
yes.
is to honor others. And the servant leadership model, of course, at Enkindle is inverted. And so we're servant leaders, where we're lifting every
yes.
single staff member, volunteer, whatever that is, up. So I love that. What a beautiful picture to take to a city model.
Thank you.
And I think that's so, we've talked about the glory and honor and honoring other ministries. And how long have you been engaged in the ministry, and how did God call you to do this?
Well, I got called into ministry when I was 19 years of age back in 1980. So if you can do the math, you kind of know how old I am. And as I said, I pastored for about 30 years. And I was very, I felt very comfortable in my own skin pastoring. But in 2012, there was a restlessness that began in me that honestly I had no language for when it began. And this may be encouragement to somebody else, because a lot of times when Father is transitioning you, the thing that you've done so well and that you feel like you could do with your eyes closed, you become very restless. And my restlessness was, I felt like there was more for me to do. And even though our church was successful and even though things were going well there, I felt that it was not about me building an empire, but leaving a legacy. And mm-hmm. legacy building requires you to identify other people to pour into. So since 2013, so for the last 5 years, we've been operating in Destiny Ministries International, and I can tell you, Christy, I've been so fulfilled. I'll share this really quickly. In 2013, I was at a friend's church. It was 6 months after I had stepped down from pastoring, and the Lord kind of started to speak to me and say, I want you to look around. 95% of what's going on in this local body, the pastor has his fingerprints on. This is that season for him. This is what I want, but this is not that season for you. He says 70% of what you do will carry your fragrance, but not your fingerprints. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, I'm a big sports enthusiast. I love sports, I think the greatest teams are the teams that can transition and know how to, you know, when an athlete is getting to his twilight, to use that as a means to raise up the next generation. And so that's what we've tried to do with Destiny, and my prayer is that we continue to be on the forefront of that, because I really believe that is where a sustainable move of taking your city. If it's all about you, then what you've accomplished dies when you die.
Yes.
And I don't want it, and that's not the way the kingdom works. Mm-hmm. When you go off the scene, and we've seen the legacy even just recently with the passing of evangelist Billy Graham, and we see the legacy that was left, and we see the effect of his life. And honestly, I don't think Dr. Graham had done a crusade in years.
Yeah.
However, he left a legacy. And so that's what I believe is very important for me and my assignment. My personal assignment is to leave a legacy. And I honestly believe that there can be no success without successors.
Yes. It's so interesting you bring up Dr. Graham, because statistically they say 1 in 6 Americans have actually seen him at mm-hmm. a live event. And I was really just shocked, probably, about on social media of all of my friends who had come to know the Lord through Billy Graham, through seeing him in a stadium or on TV or at a crusade. And that's such an amazing piece that changed generations,
yes,
really, for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love what you're saying, because we have to raise up the next generation. And that's what Jesus modeled so well. That
yes.
is kingdom living.
Yes.
For you, what's been the key to accomplish your mission?
Not getting stagnant in what I believe or what has been successful for me. I think that that's always, for me, a key. It's very easy when you've experienced success. I think the challenge is sometimes your success can be your undoing, because it's very easy to bottle it and market it and say, I was successful with this. And so you aren't open to change or open to Father doing something new and fresh. And so I feel like what my challenge and what my goal is to always keep my heart open to the reality that even though what I've done may have garnered some success, that it's not exclusive and that's not the only way that something can be done.
Yes, that's good. I love that. What's the one thing you've learned that you would say to encourage other city takers?
For me, I think the one thing that I've learned that's so important is to, first, like we said earlier, is to know you can't do it by yourself. And as important as your assignment is, you cannot get so tunnel vision that you don't appreciate someone else's assignment.
Yeah.
And so I think it's dialogue. One of the things that I think is very critical is that we have dialogue and that we support each other. That is critical, because you know, if I'm holding some type of event in my city to take the city, but no one else's events are important to me.
Yeah,
chances are you're going to be a little bit less effective in being a city taker. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important to be aware of who else is doing something in the city. And it's not necessarily that you have to go to every function and every event and everything that happens in your city. For me, I've had friends who just sent a text and said, hey, we know you're doing this. We've got this going on, or I'm going to be out of town, but we just want you to know we love you guys and we're praying for you. So just that type of camaraderie.
Yeah.
So that's been a huge plus, I would say, for me, is to know that you have to recognize what others are doing too.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. What's your favorite piece about what you do? What would you say?
Well, being a ministry that's called Destiny International, the most enjoyable part for me is seeing someone when the light comes on as to what they've been created to do. Why are they on the planet? What, you know, they step into that moment of convergence into their, and they know who they are. They know what they've been called to do. And now where they've been hesitant or where they've been stagnant or two steps forward, three steps back, they can now run, full on, because there's a clarity. So for me, that's been the most fun, the most rewarding, is seeing someone discover their destiny.
Yeah, that's amazing. Can you share a story of someone that you feel like was deeply impacted and you just really watched them excel and light up?
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting. I've had the privilege, because I've been a part of the worship community, I've had the privilege of doing some things with some other ministries around the United States. And there was this young lady that's a part of my life since 2014. She had been a part of a worship team for quite a while, but really just sort of in the background. Mm-hmm. And she really wasn't even sure if that was what she was called to do. And I remember I asked her to lead a song once, and she did. And when she did that Sunday, it was so powerful that people just came to the altar and just were crying out to the Father. And I saw something awaken in her, a confidence, a clarity. And there's no greater joy than to see that, like I said, like the light comes on. So that's happened. And I've had other things like that happen too.
One of my favorite stories, of course, we met on the mall at Washington, D.C. during the Awaken the Dawn event, which was just incredible. And you had shared with me about leading worship at the Capitol building.
Oh, yes.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, that was, of course, one of the highlights of my life. I was asked, again, being a part of working with a ministry that was in Arizona, and there was this lady there who was very involved with the Latina community, and she was a part of AIPAC. And at that time, it was during the time when AIPAC was doing a conference in Washington, D.C. And forgive me, I forgot what AIPAC stood for, but it was really Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was here, and there was this conference that was going on. And she had gotten permission to bring some pastors along with some representatives into the Capitol at the conclusion of AIPAC to do a time of prayer and worship in our nation's capital. And she approached me and said, I believe you're supposed to be here, and we would love for you to lead us in worship in the rotunda of the Capitol in D.C. And I was beyond overwhelmed, humbled, honored, and it was again one of the greatest highlights of my life to be able to be there with some of our nation's lawmakers and some of our pastors from around the United States, and to be able to sing "How Great Is Our God" in the in the middle of the Capitol.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And, you know, it's so interesting. Of course, my husband's a worship leader, and our running joke is, you know, I say, "Babe, I'll follow that guitar anywhere," you know, and of course I have, and we've moved many times and led many places, but probably my favorite place to worship and just participate in prayer was at Washington, D.C., at the National Mall, and you know, there were no lights, fog machines, microphones. Mm-hmm. It was record heat in October. I thought we were finally going to Washington when it was going to be cool, but it was record hot.
Yes.
There was rain and mud, and there wasn't a big crowd. But to get to stand and represent the state of Georgia and release prayer and prophetic words and look over and see our nation's capital and the Washington Monument and all of those things, it was such a raw, a pure flow that arose from the 50 states. And so it was such an amazing thing to be part of. So I thank you even for your service there and what was shifted in Washington, D.C., which hopefully we're going to find out in the days ahead.
Yes.
Finally, as we wrap it up, how can our listeners connect with you? Do you have a website, social media, please? How can they get to know you?
Yes, we do. We have a website. Our web address is DestinyMI, M as in ministries, I as in international, DestinyMI.com. We also have a Destiny Facebook page, so Destiny Ministries International Facebook page. Both of those are probably the best way to connect. From there, you can even connect to my personal assistant. Her email is listed there, so is mine. And you can read about some of the things that we do and how we do those. So again, DestinyMI.com or on Facebook, the Destiny Ministries International Facebook page.
Awesome. Yes. Well, I know our listeners will want to get linked with you. Thank you so much for taking the time
to
pour out wisdom. And I just feel like I could sit here at your feet forever and listen. I do want to remind our listeners, we're going to close in prayer here, but I want to remind you that you can hear John Fuller's podcast. It's released every Wednesday, Are You Real? And you can download that on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Play, wherever you prefer to hear that podcast in your way. And we're going to close. I'm going to pray over you, Anthony. So, Father, I thank you so much for this mighty man who releases the Father's love in unique and amazing and profound ways and really is impacting the religion mountain of our day, because no religious spirit can stand in the height of your love. So I thank you for a man who's willing to go lower and die to himself. And I just see that you're increasing his tent pegs. I thank you, Lord, that he carries your heart, and that I just see many, like the heart of Jesus, that cried out over Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you as chicks under my wing, but you were not willing. And I just see many, many, many coming under his wing. And so, Lord, I thank you. I pray for greater, just greater strength in him, Lord, as he carries this to the nations, for protection, that you'd hem him in behind him before and lay your hand upon him. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And remember, until we meet again, rest in his love, dance with great joy, and aspire to go higher each day. This is Christy Austin, your host of Are You Real Linked, and we'll see you again soon.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Linked, and encourage you to visit areyoureal.org for more resources based on today's episode, as well as links to more Christian podcasts in our network and the inspiration to help you enkindle everyone around you. God bless and good day.